Morning. It is good to see some faces that we haven't seen in a while. So, Raymond, wonderful to have you back worshiping with us this morning. And Will, it is good to have you here this morning. And if you have not had a chance to look at the bulletin, we have wonderful news. That does not mean we stop praying for him, though. Okay? We will keep our prayers coming for you, Will. Also, we celebrated a beautiful wedding marriage last night with Matt and Brittany. And we certainly know that the family is taking time to rest and recuperate. I'll give kudos to Vicki and Stella for being here after all of the frivolities last night. So it is good to have you here this morning. There are several things within the bulletin. If you will look at those, one of the things I want to remind you about, actually a couple of things. Number one, immediately following worship today, anyone and everyone is invited to come and to have just a light lunch with us, and then to put away some of our, well, not some, put away all of our Christmas decorations. The old adage, many hands make for light work, really remains true. And so even if you can do nothing more than take a dove off of a tree and put it in a box, we would certainly love to have you stay and help us do that. I want to also let you know, Henry is here this morning, and Henry, it's good to have you here. And Henry wants to remind us that Glenda would love to have visitors. We know what that is like when we get separated from our church family sometimes, particularly during the holidays when everyone is so busy and we are with our own families and taking care of that. Just need to remember that she would also love. And just in case you don't have this, if you want to mark this down on your bulletin real fast or on a paper, she is at Edgewood Rehabilitation Center in Mesquite. That's on Windbell Drive. And she's in room 108. Henry reminds us she might still be in the dining room because she's a slow eater. So if she's not in her room, certainly feel free to go to the dining room. But I know that she would love some company. Are there other prayer requests that we have? We, with the office being closed during the holidays, that we don't always get information. And so I want to make sure that we have all of our prayer requests, if you have any. Okay. Today, our youth are meeting after worship. And in a couple of weeks, they'll be heading to Shisey. So keep them in your prayers for that also. If there are none, it is truly good to be sitting not only in the light of this beautiful sanctuary, but to be sitting in the light of the Lord that gives us blessing each day. And for those blessings, we give our thanksgiving in worship. Let us offer our prayers together. We pray you will accept.
Thank you. find a babe born in Bethlehem? We gather asking, where will we find the child of Christmas?
We will find the child where the needy are lifted to dwell, where the oppressed are set free.
We gather wanting to know, where will we find the Christ who has come for us?
We will find our Lord where the fear is overwhelmed by grace, where hatred is overwhelmed by love, where all evils are overwhelmed by joy.
Thanks be to God. We will find Jesus in this very place, this day. We come offering our gifts of thanksgiving and praise. You may be seated. The radiance of a star guided the travelers to the feet of Jesus, where they offered their most precious gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God has given more than a star for guidance. God has given us the light of his own Son, Jesus. We ask for boldness to follow the light of Christ this and every day.
If you so choose to follow these directions, feel comfortable doing so. If not, it's just symbolic. Here are the words. Up, on your feet. There you go. Grace has been poured into us in these amazing amounts, so much so that they have flooded our soul. The light of hope shines in us, not just this day that we call Epiphany, the light of the day, but every day. This is truly the light that has come to carry us through all of the darkness of the world. So arise, shine, and give this light to everyone that you meet. Amen. Thank you. Pray with me, please. O Lord, our faithful God, you are our rock and our refuge.
Help us to hear your word as truth and to act on it in faith, that all may come to know your love. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Our reading from Isaiah recalls the hope of the people returning from exile. This hope is not because of anything they have done, but because of what God has done. So we too are now the bearers of God's light. Listen for the word of God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The epistle lesson this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Ephesians speaks of the mystery that has been revealed for all people. A mystery that the gospel, the good news, is for all people, that Gentiles are also sharers in the promise. In Jesus Christ, God's love and salvation are for everyone. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive any understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is the one that we hear most Sundays of Epiphany. One of those, again, that if you just hear with the same old ears, you're going to hear the same old story. And so listen with new ears and just imagine this, that it was strangers, outsiders, who helped spread the light of God through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is this child who was born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and so we've come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and the scribes and the people, he inquired where the Messiah was to be born. Well, they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, because that's how it has been written in the prophets. "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, he secretly called for the wise men. He learned that exact time when that star had appeared, and then he sent them on to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for this child, and when you have found him, bring word to me that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star as it had been at its rising until it stopped over that place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and they paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. But they had been warned by a dream not to return to Herod. And so they left the country by another way. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
June of 2003, 54 youth and adults headed out from the windy West Texas weather to the wilderness of Wyoming for a mission trip, this time to Wind River Indian Reservation in the town of Athede. When we went to Wyoming a few years ago, it was at a different reservation. But this was our second trip, I guess, on a reservation. We had gone to Yankton, South Dakota, the first time. And so we knew a little bit about traveling north in the winter or in the summer. We had our jackets, we had our hoodies, we had our snuggle blankets. We had done these mission trips long enough that we knew that those charter buses were like rolling refrigerators. Have you ever been on a charter bus? It is a rolling refrigerator, let me tell you. Always take something warm. The further north we went, though, we started to worry less about how cold we were on the inside, because on the outside, the temperatures were dropping, and dropping so fast that there was this white stuff that started to appear in June, of all things. It absolutely covered our mission field. We had shorts. We had short-sleeve shirts. That was it, folks. And so we had to scramble and find anything and everything that we could to get these kids warmed up. And on top of that, it rained and there was sleet. One of the sites that, or not one of, the site that I worked on, we were building a wheelchair ramp to access one of the mobile homes. And we finally ended up simply taking an old swing frame, setting it far enough out that we could take a tarp from the roof, hang it over the swing, and have a place to work underneath. However, the power tools we did not use. So, you learn how to improvise to take care of the things you need. Needless to say, after that first day, we were cold, we were wet, and I remember my shoes and all of our shoes just simply being caked with mud. And if I remember correctly, this was the trip where, as cold natured as I am, I took my sweats on the bus. On day one of the mission trip, I wore them. On day two, I turned them inside out. On day three, they told me I couldn't wear them again. So, not sure what I remember doing, but we're tired, we're cold, we're sleepy. At 5:45 in the morning, we hear this annoying thing that comes over an intercom. We stayed at schools during those group work camp trips, and there was this annoying thing. I think you've heard me say this before about the VeggieTales. How many of you watch Larry and the VeggieTales? Okay. How many of you remember, oh, where is my hairbrush? At 5:45 in the morning, oh, where is my hairbrush? Oh, where is my hairbrush? We had to tell the girls, no, you cannot throw your hairbrushes at it. Because every morning after that, that would be followed up with wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, campers, it's time to rise and shine. So, I still to this day do not like wakey, wakey. I am a happy person once I'm awake, right, Gary? Yeah. But getting me awake is a different story. I don't like to wake up. Once I'm awake, I'm fine. But none of us wanted to get up that day, and I suspect so many of you are like us, until you have that first cup of coffee, whether that is from McDonald's or Starbucks or your own Keurigs at home. None of us are really on that shiny side of life just yet. It's kind of how it was back in the time of the birth of our Lord. Thousands of years ago, there was this new light that was coming into town, and it wasn't great news for everybody. Certainly, as we heard in Scripture this morning, the announcement of the new light rising for Israel did not at all thrill King Herod. He hadn't even been wild about the old light that was there, that light that the Jews followed, the law of Moses and their God. It took too much power away from him, and it put it into the hands of their God that they couldn't even see. There wasn't a statue somewhere of him. There wasn't a mountain that was given to him. And now there's this news about this new kid in town, this new rising star who is being rumored to be the king of the Jews. And it's as if everyone is walking around quoting Isaiah, sort of saying, "Wakey, wakey, rise and shine. God's light has come into the land, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us." Now, that's the last thing that King Herod wanted to hear. It was going to challenge his sovereignty. He had absolutely no interest in any kind of rising star, any kind of new light for the Jews. And you and I know what his choice was. His choice was, by hook or by crook, to go and find that child and to eliminate. And not just eliminate him, but to eliminate any possibility of him becoming the king. We know that the wise men who came from the east saw that star in such a very different way. It captured their imaginations, and they wanted to learn more about this thing that Isaiah said was going to happen. So much so, they were willing to travel all the way across those dusty deserts to this place that was unknown. I've used this quote before. Again, listen to it with different ears. Humans cannot discover new oceans until we have the courage to lose sight of the shore. You could take that, you could put it in Matthew, Mark's gospel with the disciples standing on the edge of the shore. You could take that, you can pick it up and put it into any place in Scripture. But hear it with fresh ears today. Humans cannot discover new oceans until we have the courage to lose sight of the shore. Something about that light gave the wise men the courage that they needed to look beyond the familiar, to lose sight of the shore that they felt familiar and comfortable with, and then to move forward in faith. These pagan kings, in essence, woke up. They moved out of their routine, they moved into the light of the world, and all of that, imagine this, was just because of a small child swaddled in cloth. Certainly nothing in their wisdom would suggest, or even in our day, suggest to us the coming again of Jesus, but then suggest that God would enter the world as a child, but through an epiphany, through God's opening up the eyes and the hearts of people, they were able to recognize that this baby was the Son of God. Sometimes I wonder if I'm not looking for something, expecting it just to fall in my lap, when in essence you go back and you read this story and their eyes were opened, their hearts were open. What do I miss? What do we miss when we don't open our eyes and just expect God's goodness, God's grace, God's love, God's light just to fall into our laps without any effort on our own part? Sometimes, most times, we have to do some heart work in order to see this light that the Lord has revealed to us. So how is it that you and I fit into this story? How is it that the glory of the Lord has shone upon us? How is it that Christ, our light, has come? I think we're going to have to be intentional. And I use that word a lot, but it's meaningful. We're going to have to be intentional in 2019 to make a decision to look beyond what has been, what is, to what God wills for us from this day forward. I think we're going to have to look past relationships. And that's not just in our own families. That's in our church families. We're going to have to get over that hump. We're going to have to look at one another with the light of Christ in our eyes and in theirs. It's not easy. It's not easy in your own family, much less those people that you come and you spend an hour with on Sunday morning, and then you go home and you say, yeah, whatever. Yeah, got to worship with them. Sometimes you got to let things go. Sometimes you got to let Christ open up your heart. We've got to be intentional in 2019. I think no longer just reaching out to make disciples, which the Lord has given us that blessing, and we have been doing that, and that is wonderful. Here's my fear. My fear is that we have been reaching out so far that we are forgetting to reach inward. We're forgetting to water our own spirits. We are forgetting to let the Spirit fill us up so that we can do this ministry that we've been called to do, and I think we are still called to do. There's much work in this little area that we have. But if you're tired, I suspect you may be physically tired, but I suspect you may be spiritually tired. What will it take to help fill us? I have a friend that I graduated with from seminary, and she is leading one of the workshops at APSE this year, and Gary and I are going to be going. Erin is a director of children's ministry at Myers Park Presbyterian in Florida. And the description of what she wrote for her workshop at APSE goes something like this. What happens now in our world when we can't get them here an hour for Sunday school? It's really hard to get people here and children an hour for worship. How do we tell the story? Who tells the story? If we only have someone for an hour, what are we going to do? Her workshop was full. So I'm going to glean every bit of wisdom that I can by talking to Erin. But that is the way church is these days. How? I'm not going to ask that. Never mind. Sunday school. If you don't study scripture in a formal setting with Sunday school, I pray that you are doing that on your own at home. If worship is sporadic, I pray that you will make it a priority this year. Most of us sitting in this room know the story, and it makes it really easy for us to forget that there are some who don't know the story. This story from the wise men was passed down to us. Isaiah said, "You are the bearers of the light now." If we can't be in church for 1 hour or 2 hours, than Eastminster, what are we going to do? How are we going to move forward in 2019 to open up our own hearts so that Scripture and prayer become so much a part of who we are that those who need to hear the story get to hear it from us? Because if they don't, is the story going to end? I don't think so. I think God's got that taken care of, but I also think that God called us into partnership and asked us, how are you going to be my light? We are surrounded by all of this stuff that we call church, traditions, sermons, books, prayers, experiences. But for 2019, how are you? How is Sherry going to let the light so transform me that my life is turned inside out? I come to church every Sunday. I pray. I read Scripture. I do all of those things. But how am I going to let God take me out of the routine of that and turn my life upside down so that those who are out there can be filled with the same kind of confidence and joy and peace that I have in my life? I believe that each one of us truly has this sort of God yearning within us to be a witness and to receive the light of Christ, even with all of its challenges that it has. I see it in your eyes. I think you see it in one another. So as we head into this new year, I invite all of us who truly wish to grasp onto and to cling to that life-demanding, life-altering, sometimes life-shattering, but always life-giving light of the world in Jesus Christ. How are we going to recommit ourselves to be that light? I pray that we may, like Paul, become bold servants of the gospel, that like Isaiah, we are reminded that we are it, guys. We're the bearers of the light sitting here in this room today. By the power of the Spirit, I hope that each and every one of us has the courage to lose sight of the shore and discover some of those new oceans that God has for us. May we with boldness be willing to hear, wakey, wakey, the light is here. The light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never, ever overcome the light of Christ. I'm going to ask us for just a few minutes, if you wish, to be in prayer. If you are sincere about simply saying to God, I want to recommit my life to you. I want to understand what it is, this new thing that you have for me. And it's also okay to pray, God, I don't understand. Help me understand what it is you are calling me to do and to be. And how can I fill my own spirit in order that your spirit spills out of me? I invite you to a time of prayer if you so choose.
Let us stand and say what we believe. using the Apostles' Creed. I pray
to God.
I don't know that any of you this morning are carrying with you gold or frankincense or myrrh, but what you are carrying with you is your heart. This morning, as we give thanksgiving to God through the time, our talents, our financial resources, through the very gift of our lives, I pray that we will give God the best because we've been given the best.
Pray with me, please.
In the silence, as a new day dawned around the world, God's people gather for worship everywhere. Just like us, they come from north and south, from east and west, and they gather at table with the Lord. We come, I pray this morning, not because we must. We come because we can. We come because we have been invited to share in this meal. We come not because we are strong, but because we are weak. We are made strong in Christ. I trust that all who are here know that you are invited, you are welcomed to come to this table to share this meal, and perhaps let it be the beginning of opening up your heart, opening up your eyes, and starting something new with the Lord this morning. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In that first moment that you spoke, God, and the light of creation dispelled that thick darkness of chaos, you whispered, and your glory filled the skies. You sang, and the dust of the earth was shaped into your image as you breathed life into us. We could have lived in grace and peace with you for as long as the sun endured, for as long as the moon would hang in the night sky, but we were tempted by that sweet taste of sin. The prophets were sent to tell us of your gifts of joy and peace, but we listened to the world's news. And finally, in that dark time of despair, you sent Jesus, your servant, your son of salvation. And so therefore, we will join our voices with the wise ones as well, Lord, as with the foolish ones of every time and every place, who will forever sing of your glory.
And blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Overwhelmed with compassion, he left the glory of heaven to become a prisoner of sin so we could be set free. Overwhelmed with hope, he entered death's house to break its dark power forever. Overwhelmed with love, he traveled another road, walking to Calvary, so that we might with joy run into your waiting arms. So as we remember his birth, as we prepare to journey with him this year, we speak of that mystery called faith, which is revealed to us through Christ.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Thank you.
Holy One of stars and sinners, send down your spirit of hope upon those that are gathered around this table and on the gifts of bread and cup, so that we might be made faithful and loving children. Feed us, Lord, with the bread of hope, so that when we leave, we will travel another road. A road to defend the weak, to speak for the voiceless, to assist those who have been cast aside. Refresh us with your grace so that we, so overwhelmed with joy, will enter the houses of strangers in our midst and enter the despair of the lonely, the forgotten. Enter the hearts of everyone we meet with your heart. When eternity's time begins and we are gathered around that eternal table with friends and family that we love, and Lord, even with those that we have ignored and mistreated, with all of our sisters and brothers of grace, we will lift our songs of glad joy to you, as together we lift our voices now, praying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night of his arrest, our Lord met with his disciples in the upper room. He gave thanksgiving for this very simple gift of bread. He broke it, and he said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you. And every time you eat it, remember me." He blessed again the drink. He took the wine and he said to his disciples, "This is a sign of a new covenant. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins for all times." And he said, "Every time you drink this, remember me." And so this day, we take the bread, we take the cup, we open up our hearts. And not only do we remember, but let us look forward.
pray with me together, please? God
of generosity, we thank you for this meal and for welcoming us to your table. Thank you for your promise that we will have all we need, so that we may partner with you to reach your goodness and faithfulness in this new world. This is our prayer.
You see, there's something a little bit different in the bulletin this morning. It's not only a benediction, it is a call to discipleship. That discipleship can come in so many different forms, in so many different ways, in so many different people. And so this morning, I pray that as you prayed following the sermon, if you did, that you will begin to understand the kind of discipleship that Christ is calling you to in this year. But if one of those is that you have not become part of a family of faith, either here at Eastminster or anywhere, that you will become part of this community, not because we want to count you as a number on a pew or something in one of our statistics, but because we want to count you as family. And this is a good family. And so I pray that if you have any questions about how to come and be part of this family, that you will speak to any of us here. All of us would be more than happy to let you know what it means to be a disciple at Eastminster Presbyterian Church and to pray with you and have you pray for us. I would invite you to turn to one another. To someone. I'll turn to you. You're a chatty group. The blessing this morning is very simple. This is a blessing not from me. This is a blessing from God. So if you will repeat after me. And say the person's name. Cindy and Blair. And Blair and you, I see the light of Christ. And then Cindy and you, I see the light of Christ. Turn aisle to aisle. And say, wakey, wakey. The light is shining.
Amen.